I've not met you yet. I'm Harry Fritzenshaft. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, the Vineyard Church of Houston. We're really glad to have Michael and Donna and Carlos back from Columbia, and Michael will be sharing more about that next week. Today, I want to continue in part two of a message I started last week about how to move forward. At this time, I want to tell you previously what happened on how to move forward. Last week, we talked briefly about you can't plow ahead looking over your shoulder. Before you start, strip down. Make sure you listen to the sermon for clarification on that. And prepare not to quit. It may seem redundant, but I want to read the text again for us this morning, Philippians 3 and verses 10 through 14. Paul says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And last week, our focus was on forgetting the past, and this week, our focus is on pressing toward the goal. And I really appreciate the International Olympics Committee and the City of London for portraying a really wonderful backdrop for this message the last couple of weeks. In fact, I've been watching so much Olympics, my Olympic illustration mode is on overload. It's just every time you turn something on and they run another story. And on our bulletin cover, there is a story that we will reference a little bit later in the message. My first point to all of us this morning is we need to, if using the analogy of a race and again, the track and field getting going good in the Olympics, which I'm glad, I'm sort of tired of wet hair and other things. So ready for people to run and jump and leap and do amazing things. Run to win. And definitely need to unpack that. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, Paul wrote, the Corinthians says, run in such a way as to get the prize. Our lives need to be lived with purpose, with meaning. What is the big picture for our life? What is motivating us? Certainly we see that time and time again. If you like, and you might not care a thing about athletics or sports, and that's great. And you may be tired of the Olympics being on, and maybe they've displaced some of your favorite programming. I don't know. But the great thing about every person in the Olympics, and you know, I want to hasten this morning that winning is not just about getting to stand on a platform and getting a medal, which sometimes, you know, things I don't care for in the Olympics is like the medal counts. Like we got this many and you got that many, and you know, some of that I think is a side note. I think it's really not the important thing. The important thing is every person there is an amazing story. Just an amazing story. And sometimes we don't, because you know, media likes to focus on what they think is a big media story, sometimes we don't get to know all those stories, especially if they're from other countries that we may know very little about. We know very little about what it took just to get there, what it took just to, what it means to them to represent their mom, their dad, their family. We just don't know. We don't know their story. Just like many people don't know your story. They don't know what you have done just to be where you are today. They don't know what you've gone through. But our lives are intended to have purpose. They have meaning. Jesus loves us, and Jesus is reaching out for us this morning, and he wants us to reach out for him. And my focus this morning is not limited by just knowing Jesus so you can be saved, or you can, you know, make heaven, or get to spend eternity with Jesus. And I'm not, you know, that's a pretty cool prize. My focus this morning is that you live the life that Jesus intended for you to have. and all that that means. And I think that's a cool thing to pursue. Paul said in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 9, "Therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air." The Message says, "I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. Life is too important. Your life is too important. There is no wasted life. There is no time to waste. Our lives are intended to be lived with purpose and with meaning. That's why Jesus died, and that's why Jesus is pursuing us." And you know, it's amazing. You can tell a lot about what's important to a person by the way they live their lives. You may not know their goals. You may not know their aspirations. You may not know maybe what's most important to them, but you can pick up a lot of things in the way they live. Have you noticed the difference the way that you lived? I recall that, you know, before I had kids, there were things that were important to my time. There were things that were important to my finances. There were things that were important to my particular tastes. And it's amazing how a lot of those things changed after I had kids. You know, I listened to music with a little different ear. I watched movies or television or programming with a much different eye. You know, how I spent my time, what kind of words came out of my mouth, I had a little different sensitivity to. Why? Because it wasn't just about me anymore. There was someone else that I was responsible for and in influencing them. And it was a good thing. And, you know, the way I used to live before I was married, the things that were important to me, the things that I would pursue, the things that I would spend my time on, the things I would watch on my, well, we didn't have computers back then, but whatever we watched back then. It changed after I was living with someone and I was committed with someone, and it affected the way I lived. And it was a good thing. I gave up some things. I changed some things. I altered some things because I had someone else to consider and think about. And it was a good thing. And it's been a good thing for 34 years. Our life reflects not only what motivates us, but why it does. And you know, this is why when you can pull out a goal and you say, well, I want to do this and I want to accomplish that. And those are good things, and often those are the focus when we think about a goal, but how does it affect the way we live? How does it change our lives? Again, Paul using this imagery, or I'm saying Paul, the writer to the Hebrews, in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And let us run the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." That must have been where Granddad got that phrase about fixing your eye on what's ahead. That was last week's sermon, when you plow a straight line. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Let us run the race that is marked out for us. And there's an aspect of this, and I have to be so cautious here because there's been some recent things that's happened sort of in our public culture related to certain things. You know, I've discovered in looking back over my life, I gave my life to Jesus in 1975. And I've had some experiences then, and in looking back on some of those things, there's some times that I really thought I was doing things for Jesus. And I've learned from my life, in looking back, I really wasn't doing it for Jesus. Some of those things I did because others told me if I loved Jesus, I needed to do this. Others told me that they expected me to do this because this is what people who follow Jesus do. And I'm just saying, for me, and looking back over some of my life and my experiences, some of my greatest frustrations and exasperations and sometimes anger, I look back and said, Jesus never asked me to do that. Jesus didn't ask me to do that.
What is the race that Jesus has marked out for you? Now, as believers in Jesus, I mean, you know, there's a certain commonality. But, you know, at the same time, there's a calling on your life. There's a calling on every single person that follows Jesus. It's a call. We sometimes think of that as your call to be a pastor like Michael, to be a preacher, to be an evangelist, to be a missionary. Those are callings, but those are not the only callings. If you love Jesus and you're pursuing Jesus, you are called. You are called, and there's a race that Jesus has for your life, and it's a challenge. Part of this pursuit of Jesus is sometimes just trying to say, Jesus, what did you call me to? Maybe at this time, at this season of my life. Well, in order to try to stay on that path, we have to keep our eyes on. It seems so self-evident, doesn't it? Well, just keep your eyes on Jesus. But I remember something when I first got saved in 1975. A young man said it. It's not important, but he says, you know, it is so easy to follow anything but Jesus. To follow Jesus. Unassumedly, with no fanfare. Maybe sometimes it is seen. Maybe sometimes other people notice. But most of the time, it's just following Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. And let's follow what he has called you to. Well, secondly, and this may seem counterintuitive, you got to run with the crowd. And the reason that's counterintuitive is because, you know, growing up, you know, sort of pre-Jesus, you know, we were always running with a crowd. And your crowd was whoever you aspired to be like. Maybe it was the athletic crowd. Maybe it was the popular crowd. Some of you could run with the good-looking crowd. I was not in that group. You wanted to run with, you know, a group that made you feel good about yourself and you fit in. You were part of it. And it's part of our wiring. It's how we're made. And it's how you're made to follow Jesus. You have to run with people who are running to follow Jesus. That's called the church. And this is where pastors have over the years, those of us who are called to pastor, we just get really, really flat heads, banging our heads against the wall. You know, in the West, I've traveled a very little bit, and I haven't been in other parts of the world, but man, it just seems in the West, we just really, really have a hard time with this idea of running with the church. And I've been there myself. Run with like-minded runners. Paul says in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, and this is kind of where the Olympic analogy breaks down, and that's fine. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and he was using the imagery of the local games there in Corinth, much like the Olympic Games. And of course, people are in the stands, and it's part of the excitement, you know, you watch these things. But, you know, in following Jesus, there are no fans. Nobody is in the stands. Everybody is on the field. And I guess this was kind of funny in any kind of demanding sport. You know, the most amazing, fit, and talented, and disciplined athletes are on the field. And typically the most unfit, undisciplined people are in the stands going, yeah, baby. Yeah, they won for me. And you know, it doesn't work that way in the church. It doesn't work that way in pursuing Jesus. Now, I know there's seasons where, you know, we need to take a break and we need to rest and we need to sit down and we need to recover. But I mean, in general, I mean, there's no fans. We're all players. Every age, every size, every shape. Even before John Wimber said it, we all get to play. Yes. It's supposed to work that way. Now, if that's the way it's supposed to work, how do we encourage one another? And, you know, those that have gone on before us. Recently, been interacting with Kim Parker, a friend and colleague and a pastoral intern here, and we've been kind of reading. She inspired me to read some writings of George Mueller. I won't take time, but just an amazing man, a German who lived in actually in England and was just a man of amazing faith and dependency on God and prayer, and which sounds awesome. But you know, he I think his life is credited to raising over like 10,000 orphans just through praying for God's provision in their life. You know, I need some dead Christians out there to encourage me. But I also need some alive ones. I had an experience. I used to be in the Air Force Reserve Officer Training Corps, ROTC, and we went to summer camp for 4 or 6 weeks, and we were broken up into groups, and they called them flights, and I don't know, there was 20, 25 guys in our flight, and you know, the flights would compete against one another for different things, but one of the competitions over the course of this 4 to 6 weeks is every single person in the flight had to run a mile and a half in 12 minutes or less. And for many of you who are runners, and my goodness, you probably running a mile and a half in 12 minutes would probably be like cooling down for you. But for some of us, I mean, that's an 8-mile pace. And for some of us who aren't athletic, and not every one of these young men was, and for some of us who were of different sizes, some sizes it's easier to run a mile and a half in 12 minutes, and sometimes it wasn't. But each flight's responsibility was that every single person would do this. And so it wasn't hard for those who were more athletically gifted or more fit or in better shape. You know, the first few days or the week, man, they were running well under 12 minutes. I mean, even me, little short, runny guy, I think I ran it. I think my best time was around 10 minutes or something like that. Doesn't matter. But I remember we got together. No one told us what to do. It was on us. That was part of the responsibility. And we would go out on our off days, and we would train with the guys who hadn't done it yet. And then when it came time for the time, well, we didn't leap up. We stayed with them, and we ran around them. And we had some that ran right in front and made sure there was nobody in the way. And we had those that ran right beside them to make sure nobody got in the way. And we had those behind them. And all the way, we would say, "You're doing great. You can make it. You can make it." And every single guy did it. I've never had an experience like that. I've been in other competitions. We were all going to make it. And I think that's the way the church is. It's not about those who are more gifted or more capable or just have natural ability and sort of they're out ahead. We're all supposed to make it. And we all make it when we all help one another to make it. That's why you need to run with the crowd that's running for Jesus. Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 17, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do." Always look for inspiration and modeling among those God has placed around you. Look for those who inspire you to become more than you are. Don't hang with people that just make you comfortable. It's the most human thing. We like being comfortable, which is why it's the most natural thing. We hang with people that look like us, same height, same weight, laugh at the same jokes. It's a challenge to hang with people who look a little different, maybe have a little different accent, a little different cultural perspective. This is where this gentleman comes in. His name is Oscar Pistorius. And he is from South Africa. They call him the Blade Runner. And again, many wonderful stories. This gentleman was born without fibulas in his lower legs. And so, basically, his legs below the knees were just worthless. And so the doctor suggested at an age of less than one to have them amputated. So he grew up without having lower legs. And so he grew up using prosthetic devices and loved sports and just played with the kids and grew up. And the only thing he saw different is his shoes just looked a little different than everybody else's. And he's just a very gifted athlete, has won, I think, 4 medals in the Paralympic gold medals, excuse me. But for 6 years, he has pursued a process. I just want my times to count, and I'd like to be considered to represent my country in the Olympics. And finally, they allowed it. And he was in, and he ran, and he did well enough in his heat. He runs the 400-meter race that he will be running in the semifinals. Maybe that'll be happening today. Now, my point is saying, why is this important? This is important to remind me. Stop whining about things that don't amount to anything. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. This is why we need people like this in our lives. People who have had struggles. People when you think like, wow, yeah, I've had it rough, yeah. Dysfunctional family, man. Yeah, yeah, it was bad, bad, bad. Build some relationships with people. And, as you sort of get past the hi, how are you, my name is, where'd you grow up, where'd you go to school, you find out some things about people who love Jesus and are following Jesus and pursuing Jesus. And you think, man, I'm not opening my mouth and telling them anything about me. Take advantage of the people that God puts in your life to inspire you to be more than you are right now. And the last thing I want to leave us with this morning is run to finish. Again, this is where most athletic competitions, it's not a good analogy because you see in this race, everybody wins who finishes. Everybody wins. Again, writing to the Hebrews, Paul says, "And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us." And the Message says, never quit. In the Greek, it says, never quit. I made that up, but just never quit. You can slow down. You can take a break and you need to recover, but don't quit. Do not quit. And see, here's the cool thing. This is not just a matter of us doing the best we can, as hard as we can, as long as we can. Yesterday morning, we had CPA class. CPR class. If you need someone to do your taxes, do not come to anybody that got their card from yesterday's class. You can tell I wasn't the number one student in class. So we had these mannequins, and we're trying to do the compressions on it. And so, you're supposed to do 30 and then 2 breaths and 30 and 2 breaths and 30. It wasn't me, but someone said, how long do you keep going? And the guy said, till the paramedics show up or you pass out. So for some of you, you definitely need to find a more fit. Be sure the person who does CPR on you is very fit. But this is not just us trying to do the best we can until we just pass out. You see, here's the cool part. We're pursuing Jesus, and Jesus is pursuing us. This is not just about, oh, I hope I'm saved. I hope I get to see him one day. You know who you're going after. Sorry, I got too loud there. I mentioned earlier, Glo and I, this coming August, we'll be married 34 years. Amen. And recently, And yeah, you should applaud for her. Because Paul says, he says, I haven't already obtained this. I haven't arrived at my goal. And you're like, really? You, Paul? But his sense was, you know, there's always more. And my point in using Glo and I's marriage, I'm going to give you a illustration of how it works for us. Glo and I had this amazing philosophical conversation about shelving in the pantry. And I was telling her why her idea wasn't going to work. And I told her, and I retold her, and then I told her again. Yeah, you're shrugging, you know better, right? It's my good buddy Smitty. And finally she said, all right, you can close your mouth now and quit telling me. And I said, I was talking out loud to myself. If I want to keep talking, I'll keep talking. You know, in the moment, it made total sense. And then later on that day, I went to go ask her something. And she says, oh, I didn't know if you were talking to me or talking to yourself. And then I leaned down to kiss her. And I said, I bet I'm going to hear this again. And she says, oh, buddy. This is so rich. Now, that's a silly example of me saying something stupid. But the point is, I've been pursuing her a long time. And she's been pursuing me. And that's why something like that, so silly, so dumb, maybe taken out of context, can be funny and enriching and life-giving. And that's what it is about going after Jesus. Been going after him a while, and many of you have too. And he's been going after you a while. It's full of life and full of richness and full of depth. Stay in the race. Unretire. Come back out of retirement. Get back into training and come back again. And our last thing this morning, Paul said to Timothy, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And there are some tough spots along the way. But there's a lot of laughter and a lot of joy and a lot of richness too. So pursue Jesus because he's pursuing you. I'd like us to stand together, like our prayer team to come. Let me bless you this morning. And please come forward for prayer for anything. I bless you in the name of Jesus, who died for you, who loves you, who is pursuing you this morning and calls you to pursue him. The Lord is with you.